So we are up to the last issue in Dira. We're talking repeatedly about how the Rambam organizes for us the issues in Reish Pei Vav, Reish Pei Zayin, in terms of whether or not Yechayv Mezuzah, into issues of the Pesach, which we'll get to primarily in Reish Pei Zayin.
Are we doing
Pesach? No, we're in the middle of Reish Pei Vav. Reish Pei Vav concerns itself basically with what does the bias need, what does the room need to be Yechayv Mezuzah, and that breaks down into the structural issues and the dira issues of the function of the room. And the function of the room, so we're really up to the last issue in function. The last issue in dira, we had a chance to talk about. The Rambam organizes four issues. Diras Adam, that has to actually be used and used by people, as opposed to spaces that don't have a use, or spaces that was the discussion about Otsar, and discussion of Beishar, it just gets you somewhere else, or it's just used for storing animals or items. And then we have the discussion about Diras Kavod, Beis HaKiseh, Beis HaMerchatz, and so forth, and Atinof, how does that play in? And then we have the discussion about the Kodesh versus Chol. Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, we saw that according to Rambam, that was a question of Kodesh and Chol. Or we saw last time, two weeks ago, it may be alternatively for Rashi and Tosfos Lechora. Rashi and Tosfos Lechora are both saying that it's an issue of ownership. And someone had said, maybe it was Barak, and that could explain why Bizman Hazeh, our shuls. So who was it? Someone suggested 2 weeks ago. Arav Priel. Yeah, that might be why Bizman Hazeh, our shuls all have mezuzahs on the sanctuary, because our shuls are all shel kfarim, according to Rashi and Tosfos. That even if it's a large shul, but there is a defined list of members. Maybe hundreds of people, but we have either it's a shtibul that belongs to the Rebbe, or it is a list of members. Someone suggested to me recently, what was it? And maybe like in Midtown and shuls in Midtown Manhattan, maybe are a throwback. Maybe. Even there, I don't know. I'm not sure how they work. But is there membership that pays and votes and makes decisions, or is really sort of in the garment district and the shuls and the commercial areas of Manhattan? I'm not sure. But Derech Klal, in residential areas, so that may explain it. And then the third approach, which we're going to come back to very soon, was that of the Mordechai, who differentiated between Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses, and the Shachad explained what that was about. And that brings us to Se'ifim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, with a focus back on Diras Keva. Rambam talks about it as one of the issues. It does not appear in that Brisa on Daf Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. It talks about Chol, and talks about Dira, and talks about Diras Kavod. The Rambam says there's a fourth rule, gathering from other sources other than the Yuma Yud Aleph Beis, the fourth issue aspect of Dira that you need, which is Diras Keva. So that you saw that comes up in the very beginning. The entry point from Yuma into the world of Mezuzah on Daf Yod. And I said Sukkos Chag B'Chag, and that's what's referenced here in Sif Yud Aleph. Sukkos and Shulchan Aruch talks about three cases which are pater. Sukkos Chag B'Chag, Bayi Shebesfina, Chanuyos Shebeshevakim. All of those are pater. And you take a little Rambam says, they're all pater. He talks about these cases. So Sukkos Chag B'Chag, he talks about Bayi Shebesfina. He says they're pater because they lack Diras Keva. And that's what the Gemara says about the Sukkos Chag B'Chag. So that's the Machlokes Rebbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Where it says the machlokes Yehuda Chachamim, whether Sukkah is Diras Keva, Diras Arai, is going to impact whether or not there's a chiyuv mezuzah. So there, the Bavli is clear, as well as the case in Sif Yud Beis, which we'll come back to soon. B'shtei Sukkah Shal Yotzim, the Sugya and Sukkah Davchas, the Gemara talks about the outer room. We'll get back to it, but the outer room is not chayiv because the lo kaviyah. So you have in both cases the Bavli talks about. The Bavli talks about kvius as being necessary. Question is, so first just talking about sukkah for a moment, take a look, just practically, Pesachei Tshuva points out it's interesting, the end of Sivkat and Yud Gimel in Pesachei Tshuva talks about the first wide line. Shuvas arbaturi evan. Mashish rov makomas chadarim mekurim in mezuzah. You have a roofed room in your house, but a roof that can come off. So normally all year long you have mezuzah. Ubasukah is poskin hakiru, umasachin vanafim, mezuzah kvu bedalas. So you have, sometimes people have, you can retract the roof on the dining room, let's say, you retract the roof on the den, you retract the roof for sukkahs, you put on schach, and you have sukkahs inside your house. Your dining room table is now in the sukkah. Then, sukkahs is over, you take the schach off, and you click the roof back on. So what's the story with that? So he says, well, he says, there was someone, Das Gadol Echad, was one time of Chacham said, Gevalt, Tasev Lo Ben Asui, of course, a sukkahs. Your dining room was potter because it's a sukkah. You left the mezuzah on. And now, after sukkah, you take off the schach. You click the rooftop back on. And now it's chayiv. But the mezuzah is right there from beforehand. So those are the way things he quotes. There was one time, l'chacham hupaskin, you got to take them after sukkah. You got to take the mezuzah down. You can take it down before sukkah or after sukkah. Take it down and put it back up. So that'll be whether you take it down before or after sukkah, you got to put it back up after sukkah. So that'll be, you'll be koveya it mechadash b'chiyu. So he says it's wrong for more than one reason. Number one, that's not necessarily tassel of an osir. Because originally put up the hechsher, and then it goes in and out of hechsher, that may not be tassel of an osir. Tassel of an osir, when you put it up, the psul. Moreover, he says, that room is chayiv. The dining room during sukkahs is chayiv. The fact that it happens to also be a kasher sukkah doesn't make it all of a sudden pater. It's no less kavua than it was. It didn't become built in kavua. He says, the dira of a sukkah is not considered to be a dira's kava. So if all it is a sukkah, that's not a dira's kava. But this is a sukkah as well as my dining room all year long. So the fact that now it happens to be sukkahs doesn't take away. Okay.
So even on sukkahs, it's chayv.
Yeah. It will be wrong to take the mezuzah down before sukkahs, because then you're mevat to the mitzvah. Now, the second case that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Rambam, is the Bayis Shebesfino. What's the story of the Bayis Shebesfino? Bayis Shebesfino. The Gemara talks about Bayis Shebesfino a couple places, but never the Bavli, but never in Erevin elsewhere, but never in the context of mezuzah. So this is the Rambam so the Rambam is quoting from a different source. The Rambam is quoting from Yerushalmi. The Stipler actually has. We'll talk about where he gets it from in a moment. The Stipler, I think I sent around earlier this week. The Mar Makom, I think, is Simon Chav Zayin, maybe in Menachos. It's the one piece I believe in all of the Kiyos Yaakov about Hilchos Mezuzah. He declared about this, and he actually writes. If you read to the end, he says. Before he put together the svarim that we usually use, the ones on Masechtas, there had been these separate volumes of Kilas Yaakov, just collections of different topics. He originally had written an article in the earlier set about Bayis Shebesfino. And his clair was, well, what is it about Bayis Shebesfino that's not kavua? What do you mean not kavua? What's not kavua about Bayis Shebesfino? Says, oh, well, maybe it's because you're not really interested. It's like a hallway. It's his first suggestion. It's like a hallway. I'm not really interested in being here. The boat is just a way to get from point A to point B. I need to get from Yafo to Paris, so I'll take a boat. But I'm not really interested in the boat. I'm interested in being in Paris, or vice versa. I'm interested in being Yafo, so I'll take the boat from Paris to Yafo. I want to be in Yafo. A lot of Musa in this, right? This is not the destination. This is just the vehicle to get there. You can't confuse means and ends. Right? The famous story of the Chafetz Chaim and the furniture, the simple furniture they had. Right? This is just a vehicle to get a better place. So the disciple says, maybe that's pshat. That's why it's not diros keva, because it's just a hechetim to get somewhere else. In which case, the passengers' cabins are potter, but cruise quarters, captain's cabin, would be chayiv. You're leaving there hours for months. You may be ferrying people back and forth, but the captain is on there. This is his place. He may spend most of his life there. So the disciple says, if it's just a question of that's a way to get from point A to point B, so then you would be machalik in different rooms on the boat. So he declared, is that all it is? Or maybe it's more than that. The Gemara does talk elsewhere, and he has Gemara, again, another talk about mezuzah, but he has Gemara that talk about, well, since it's in the water, so in others, so you take a look, he lies stacks up Gemara's lakan. He says, maybe it's because it's in motion. Says, and maybe the whole boat is potter because it moves. He says, but that had nothing to do with, let's say, like, that means there are two fundamentally different senses of keva and aroi. The first approach is say, this is a way to get from point A to point B. That's pretty similar to Sukkos Chag B'Chag. This is like a temporary dwelling. It's not, as opposed to say, no, this is the quality of the deer is permanent, but the fact that it's mobile makes it diras arayz. It's like a totally different type of idea. Two very different ways to get to arayz versus kavua. So he handles back and forth, doesn't have a raya brua, but he has this sugya. The Gemara seems to talk about the fact that it moves. That sugya, the Gemara seems to talk about the fact that it's getting from point A to point B, but they're not really the same. He talk about other topics, not about mezuzah, not say about dira. There's a lot of masumatan. And then at the end, he says, my son Chaim, who we know as Chaim Kanevsky, is Bini, I think Gary gives him titles there, Bini Maharach. That's Nachas. But he already felt then that he was Chaim Kanevsky's father. He says, my son showed me a raya from a different Rambam. If you look in, or if you all look in Hilchos Mezuzah Perek Vav, he doesn't say very much. He says, "Bayis Shebesvim, that's Potter, it's not Kavua, Shkayach." So Rav Chaim Kanevsky pointed out, yeah, but if you look in the end of Hilchos Brachas, same volume, same for Ava, if you look at the last parak of Hilchos Brachas, parak Yud Alf, Hilchos Brachas is the parak about Birkas HaMitzvos. So in at the beginning, I believe it's Halacha Beis, he's working towards, one of the first major issues is which mitzvos require bracha, which don't. So in order, the Rambam happens to actually have a pretty relatively straightforward approach to that, but he does develop a categorization of mitzvahs. In order to be able to talk with sophistication about this type of that type of mitzvah, he says, let me explain to you, mitzvahs come in two flavors. One way to categorize mitzvahs is there mitzvahs which are real chova, which are versus mitzvahs which he calls domin l'rishos. What does domin l'rishos mean? He says, domin l'rishos, not the rishos, like you get to choose when they want to do it. It's similar to rishos in that it's not that it's optional, but it's contingent. I can choose it only applies in certain circumstances, and I can choose to enter those circumstances or not. That's a classic example the Rambam does not give, I believe. Let's say, is a mitzvah to pay a worker on time. Biyom titan shor. I allow not to delay paying too much, and mitzvah to pay him that day, the day that the salary is due. If you don't pay him every day, you don't have to pay him every day, but whatever the salary is due, you're supposed to pay him by the way. Biyom titan shor. That's a chiyuv. If I hire a worker, it's not optional. I am a chiyuv to pay him on time, but I'm not mechayiv to hire workers. I can choose to do my own work, whatever it is. I can choose to not hire workers. Or I can choose to hire kabbalanim rather than polim. So that's what Rambam calls a mitzvah rishos, so a dom of the rishos. It's contingent on certain circumstances. I choose whether or not I want to. As Rambam says, for instance, he gives a list of mitzvahs chova. It talks about the tefillin, I think, and maybe lulav and sukkah. His verses, it says mezuzah. He says a Jew could live in an ohel or a boat, mefarshe yamim and shochne maholim, not chayiv mezuzah. Knock yourself out. Not chayiv mezuzah. So that's Dom Lurushas. Then he goes on to say, by the way, this categorization is largely irrelevant to Tefillas Brachas because both types of mitzvahs, even Dom Lurushas, requires a bracha. But so he his primary point there is to make a point about brachas. But Lamaisa, he gives us a gold mine of insight into this issue. Now, how much does he tell us? So Stipula says, well, maybe he just means, you could say he just means boats and tents tend not to be chayiv in mezuzah. Like usually it won't be built right anyway. Maybe it won't be dalid, or won't have a proper mashkof. And I'm seeing it. He says, but I agree. Stipula says, pashtus, the simple reading, pshuto shel harambam, is that he means there's something fundamental about tents and boats. Now Stipula says, well, on the other hand, what's with a tent? Like he never said anything about tent being potter. The truth is, if you understand that the reason why a boat is putter is because it's mobile. Now, a tent is not as mobile as a boat, meaning it's not mobile while you're living in it. You have to take it apart to move it, but it is mobile. You can fold it up, take it somewhere else, set up shop again. So, Parshat Pshat is that Rambam is indicating, that that's what Chaim pointed out to his father, that Tzad number two, that the Bayis Shebas Fima is fundamentally not kavur, not because many of the rooms are for temporary usage and are just there to get you from point A to point B. No, the fact that it's a mobile home makes it potter. Now the truth is, I would go a step further, and I think I found this. Yeah, if you look in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sfarim, he takes this a step further. He has one of the volumes that has like four or five different kuntresim. One of them is Kiryas Melech. It's incredibly useful. Kiryas Melech, he takes you through line by line the Mishnah Torah, showing you Mekoros in Chazal for different lines in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in a famous letter to Pinchas Adayim that everything, it says, unless I say Yerah Eli, Nir Eli, it's all a quote from somewhere or another in Chazal. He had a very broad corpus. It could be it's a Bavli or Yerushalmi or Tosefta or a Mishnah or some Medrash Halacha. There's a big haystack to look through. But it's there somewhere. And again, it may have been his interpretation, the way he understood the Bavli, Yerushalmi, etc., may be different than the way others do. But he's, and that's, as you know, that's, you find the Chidush and Rambam often the way he says over the Gemara. Then you work backwards and say, oh, he must have read the Gemara. He must have read the Yerushalmi this way. That's why he's quoting Azai. So much of it, the Rambam actually writes in that letter, he had charata that he didn't write his makaros. The Kashba will give me time and health. I'll write a companion sefer that will give one of my makamos. And he never got around to doing that. That's why the last almost millennium, everyone else has been trying to. And it would be far fewer Shver Rambams if we knew. No, okay? He's not. The answer to how could be Rambam against the Gemara? No, the answer is he's not following that Gemara. He's had Yerushalmi in Trubas. That's the end of the story. So Kiryas Melech, so notice he can't do a lot, but Kiryas Melech, he tries as much as he can, like every line, and even like little pieces. No, not just like the din of this halacha comes from here. Like the Rambam will give three examples. So he'll say, oh, this example, like I think he does this by Bishul Akum, which I'm next to have a chance to work with. Yes, he doesn't have every single one, but he tries as much as possible to be wherever he could find. Like the Rambam gives examples that he talks about, like different types of foods, whether they're not susceptible to Bishul Akum, it has to be inedible raw, it has to be socially significant. Rambam gives a couple of examples. So Chaim Kanievsky says, well, this example comes from Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf and Aleph, and this example comes from Yerushalmi, and this example comes... Most Noah Sakelim aren't looking for that degree of detail, but he, boom. Now, and all the Chidushim there are very inobvious. It's just a list of Marim Komos. But if you're in the Sugya, and you look at it, sometimes it's incredible. Here's an example. In Kiryas Melech, so Chaim Kanievsky says, on that Rambam, in Hilchos Brachos, Yidal Beis, he says, Yerushalmi, Megillah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis. We learned that Yerushalmi at the beginning of the year. Yerushalmi's address for Megillah is the end of, for Mehilchus Mezuzah, the end of Maseches Megillah. Perhaps because that last parak talks about Kriyas HaTorah and talks about Tefillin, so then Yerushalmi deals with Mezuzah as well, many other reasons. But Lamaisa, the sugya of Mezuzah and Yerushalmi is It's all. It, a lot of it is very familiar from the Bavli. Very Kederach Yerushalmi, very crunched together. And at the end is what we discussed in the Siman Reish Pei Hei about Tefillin versus Mezuzah, which one is Kodim. You remember, Yerushalmi had said that the tzad to say that Mezuzah is a higher level than Tefillin is because tzad to say Mezuzah is a higher level than Tefillin is because Mezuzah applies even in Shabbos Yantif. The tzad to say that Tefillin is a higher level than Mezuzah is because Tefillin applies to everyone, but Mezuzah is not knowing the Farsha Yamim, the Yoshua Yahalim. Givaldik. So he says, the Rambam in Yud Aleph Beis is quoting that Yerushalmi. Now, it's golden on several levels. Number one, the Rambam didn't just pick random examples to show Chova versus Rishus. That is the point of that Yerushalmi, is to say the difference between Tefillin and Mezuzah is Tefillin is Chova and Mezuzah is Rishus. That's Yerushalmi's way of talking about it. So that's the perfect example. That's exactly the point Yerushalmi was making. That Tefillin is a Chova, Mezuzah is a Rishus, because if you want, you could live in a tent and let, right? Out. And it becomes very hard also to say, once you realize that the Yerushalmi is the source of it, it's very hard to say, it just means that generally boats and tents happen not to be chayv. It sounds like there's something fundamental going on. Like, it could just be saying, if I want to, I can live on the park bench and not be in a bicycle at all. But it sounds like there's something more. It sounds like there's something about Ohel and Sfina. And that's the makar also. Now we also know that's the marker for our Rambam. That is, Ba'ei Sheh B'Sfina is Yerushalmi. That's exactly where it belongs, in the Sugya of Mezuzah, Yerushalmi. And in the Chanami. In the Chanami, it sounds like there are two different routes to be considered Arai. Either you're Arai because of the nature of the Dira, it's Yeshiva Basuka, it's temporary, or because it's a mobile home. An Afkamina is obviously for a trailer. If you rent an RV, so we'll get to a Mitzvah later on, you rent an RV, so a rental outside of Israel is only chayv if you're there for 30 days or more. But if you own, even if you're only living there for a day, a week, you're chayv. Let's say you invest in an RV. You manage to buy a used RV, a good deal. And now you own an RV. You only plan to use it for a couple of days a year, a week at a time. But the mice, you bought it, you leave it, you park it, you find a place to leave it. So 1 second. So do I have to? It's mine. So if I own it, I have to put mezuzah, even if I'm going to be there just for a couple of days. So my chayv mezuzah. The answer is that's totally in this chakira. And we seem to assume that that mobile home is pater. Post can say if you at a certain point you can make something so immobile that it loses its status of mobile. So let's say they're talking about dry docking a boat. It's not the fact that a boat is docked in the harbor and it's chained up. That's still considered alright. But if it's dry docked, yeah, it took it out of the water and that's a very different. So presumably, if you have a trailer home, you took the wheels off and it's up on cinder blocks, then maybe it's chayv. Like a real trailer park, long-term trailer park situation. But if it's it's parked, it's out of gas, parked, that's still diras haroi, and that would still be part. So let's take some questions, and then we have to talk about chanuyah shebishvakim. Yeah.
What's the difference between a tent and a sukkah in terms of mobility? Aren't they both basically not really part of in the ground? You could disassemble them and move on. But the sukkah, we only say because it's a dira derai because of sukkahs. But if you have the sukkahs there all the time, like
so according to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah is takachayev.
Well, in general, we say sukkah is chayev, or not for sukkahs.
I'm saying Rabbi Yehuda holds the dira is kevan, therefore sukkah is chayev. That's what Rashi says.
Right.
You're saying, why? But a mice, it's a mobile home. You're saying, does the fact that would the Yerushalmi disagree with the Bavli on that? Would the Yerushalmi say that even, that according to everyone, sukkah is part of a quote is mobile? And the other question is a sukkah always mobile? I mean, many are, but you could also have permanent walls and potzracha. I mean, what the Pesach Tshuva quoted is, if it's part of your house, right, and now you just potzracha, you switch the roofs, it doesn't make it potter. But let's say you have, some of the people have, they have a structure in the backyard, and a wooden structure for sukkahs, you potzracha. That lechar is potter.
Right.
Even though the walls don't move. Think.
Would that be
doesn't turn it into a rye?
Like,
it's in your house.
Wouldn't we say when it's logic, it would be pater on sukkahs, but the rest of the time it would be chayv? Because it's a deer at the rye on sukkahs.
No, let's say I have a structure in the backyard that I just used for sukkahs.
Oh, okay, fine.
Or all year long, also it has no roofs. Even if I use the rest of the year, if you assume they need a roof to be chayv.
Right.
Now let's talk about the chanunish of shvakim. The stores in the marketplaces. So what does that mean? So the Taz says, yeah, lav diras nina, sit panyod. He says, even if you sit in this store all day long, you're patzik she'enam sham v'layla. That's called aroi. He's a raya from Cheska Sabat, Cheshem Mishpat. If you don't live there beyond v'layla, that's not called living there. So the store is open during the day, but it's closed at night. This is before the advent of 24/7 stores. They didn't know from supermarkets like that. So, that's his sponsor. You see, he says, and Taz goes on to say, you have the Beis HaOtzer, the pantry, you don't go into it at night. Yeah, but it sounds like he's saying it's storing things day and night. The Tashmish doesn't fundamentally change. You might not go in there, but it doesn't fundamentally change. Presumably what he means is that the store is closed at night. There are office hours. And that probably has to be the answer. I'm not in my bedroom during the day. Maybe someone's at home, you're taking care of a baby. But there are times in your life when no one's in the bedroom during the day. The bedroom's only used for X number of hours, then you go to sleep at night. So why not say the same logic? The same way the store is part of the bedroom is part of it, it's only used by Lai Nabi. No, the answer is your bedroom doesn't have office hours. It happens to be you're not around. You only eat in the dining room during mealtime. But it's not fundamentally that the dining room is closed. But the store is closed. Not just happens that there are no customers at night. The store is closed. So if it's fundamentally shut, closed for night, it's only open during the day. The Taz says that is called Eino Kavua.
But for me, it's open the whole time.
You could go in 3 o'clock in the morning if you want.
Yeah, I mean, assuming I own the store, which I assume is how it worked back then.
Right.
If I'm a manager, I hear.
Yeah.
That means it's relevant that other people are coming in.
Good. That's your store back into Notzar, which you said it's not.
Right, my store is always housing.
Always housing
merchandise.
Yeah.
But the deer of the store is doing the business. It's not the housing the merchandise. But take a look at the Pesach. It starts as a machlokes between Taz and Pesach Tshuva. The Pesach Tshuva sif kanyod chanusha b'shvakim is ayin ba'er heitev. The ba'er heitev's job primarily is to summarize the shach and taz. So ayin ba'er heitev usually means really ayin shach or ayin taz. You take a look. The pizbit here, Barhetev is where Sivkat Yadalad. He calls Kasavatal, if the Yoshin Behem Kalayom, he's still Patr, etc., etc., etc. I say of Yad Katan al Rambam, who is absolutely flabbergasted. Tamalze. So he says, number one, what you just said. And Ishbachnus is a Schor HaMunuch Sham Tamid. You're storing your merchandise there. It's an otzar. Even if you remove all the schar at night. Let's say you run a jewelry store and you don't have a safe in the store. Everything you clear out the whole store every night when you're closing. You put it in an offsite location, offsite safe. He says, but still, roy lechayva kemo beis hamedrash darin lefishyoshim bo kol hayom is a dira. Why is it any worse than a Beis Medrash? Beis Medrash is also closed at night and open during the day. In other words, what's Yad Katana saying? It's not just me versus the Taz, it's who versus the Taz? The Shach. It's really Machlok Shach and Taz. Machlok the Shach and Sivkan Yud, was the Taz of Kanyin Aleph. Because he told me the base marriage is Mordechai, the base marriage is Chayiv, because Beis HaKnesses is only an hour to a day. But base marriage all day long, closed at night, but open during the day, so why is that different than a store? So he says, but the mice, what are you going to do with the Chenush Meshvakim? So the Yaakhan says, you missed the Taz, missed the Diak. What if they say Meshvakim? You say Chanuyos. Chanuyos. The answer is no. What he means is fairgrounds. You have a fairgrounds that's used for 1 or 2 weeks a year, 3 weeks a year. So it's not used, it's not a store, it's used every day. You have booths. So during whenever the Yerid, Yerid is what they used to call the fair, so they had a major commercial event in Leipzig and here and there, so big cities. Once or twice a year, people will come from all over for a week or two or maybe three and do business. And there's also, if you're interested in Jewish history, early modern Jewish history, there was a lot of Jewish leadership issues were handled at the Yerid. The Vada Baratzis in Poland, that they used to meet, Rabban used to meet, and political leaders used to meet. This was, you couldn't pick up the phone and talk to people. So you could write letters, but the Yerid is when everyone got to, it was a conference. Everyone got to do whatever it was, whatever your malacha was. Your malacha was Rabbanus, your malacha was Sfer, whatever it was. That's when everyone got together. Says, yeah. So Yaakov says, that's what we mean. That's like a sukkah. That patak is like a sukkah. Use it for a week or two a year. It's very nice. A week or two a year, you mamish yomam v'layla in the booth. But the rest of the year, garnished. So I say, nowadays, let's say the Javits Center, you have convention centers. The Javits Center is probably in use most days of the year because they keep running different conventions. There's an auto show, and then there's this, and that. But Chanush, but back in the pre-modern times, you had your rid. There was no time sharing going on in the rid. There was your rid for X number of weeks a year, and the rest of the time the fairgrounds were empty. If you go to Harrisburg, you see something like that also. There's a very, very, very large area for animal fairs, which I believe is a major event. It's not even a county fair, it's a state fair. And B'Shas Maisa, it's a massive event, but most of the year, I think, it lies empty. One could even argue that should be the story with, I was thinking about this week, I was talking to someone, football stadiums. Let's have a football stadium, NFL stadium, that's not used for a different sport. Not a stadium which is also used for baseball, just used for football. How much is it used already over the course of the year? How many games do you have in that stadium? A handful. That's mamish chanuyos. So even if a stadium which is owned by a Jew in Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, so even without getting into is there a deer that's chayiv, is a deer ashen shel kavod, whatever other issues you could think about, and that's chanuyos b'shvakim. That's eino kavua. B'shas ma'isa, it's very serious. You have thousands upon thousands of people packing in. They come for a few hours and they're gone. And they come for a few hours and they're gone. A handful of times per year. So that's l'chara, another example of chanuyos b'shvakim. That's considered eino kavua. Obviously, the more significant nafkamin in the other direction is workspace, regular, normal workspaces. Because a taz would say that an office or a store is not chayiv mezuzah. And I think usually assumed like the shach, like the akhtan of the shach. But no, if I have an office, not an office that I use, a week a year. So if you have an office you use a week a year, so maybe that's chanuyos b'shvakim. A fellow has a business in Africa, a business in the Caribbean, and if his business is structured such that 50 weeks a year he's working from his office stateside, but a week or two a year he has to go out on location. He has an office that he uses for the week or two a year that he visits Kenya, so that may be his chanuyos b'shvakim. But if you have an office that you visit on a regular basis, okay, sometimes I telecommute, but I'm there, kaseya. I'm in the office physically, kaseya. So then, the Shach and Yaktan would say that's the preponderance of contemporary poskim. Then if again, you have to go work through the issues at the beginning of this sermon about Beis Hashutfin Nachman Yisrael. But if it's Jewish owned, Jewish rented, Jewish operated, so then we would assume that you would put up a mezuzah. Let's close with Se'if Yud Beis. Shnei Sukkos, it is a quote from the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. At the right before the second Mishnah, Dav Ches, Sheisukah Shayotzim Zulif and Mizu, Pnimis Chayevas Kitzon Apatur. You have a potter. You have someone who makes pots. So he has, sounds like a two-room house, two sukkahs. So the inner area is where he lives, and the outer area is where he works and sells his merchandise. My great grandfather had that set up in the Coney Islands. The back, I think they had the first floor of the building. The back half is where they lived, and the front half is where they ground the fish and sold the fish. So it says the Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara, I'm sorry. I was never there before my time. But
I can imagine.
It smelled like Parnassa. It worked.
Okay.
Smelled like Parnassa. Right, the miller finds the sound of the mill grind, the noise of the mill grinding, an incredibly peaceful background with which to fall. It helps him fall asleep because it means that business is working, right? So, but in terms of this issue, right, the Gemara says it's eino kavua. The rest of the outer one, the Gemara says lehevi chitzona beishar lepnimis. Why isn't the chitzona a beishar to the inner one? That's the way you get in, especially if you're thinking in terms of the Pesach Hamevili day, Mina Torah, or else Midrash Rabbanan, the Machlokes Yatosis versus the Rif the Rambam. It's a Beishar. And if the inner one is Chayiv, then the outer one gets you inside into the inner one. Why isn't the front door Chayiv? So the Gemara says, no, it's not Kavua. It's not Kavua. It's not Kavua. What do you mean it's not Kavua? What do you mean it's not Kavua? So the many Rishonim, the Ravid, here in Perek Vavil from Zuzah and Rashi there, say that means that the inner one is not so kavua. The inner one is not so kavua, and therefore the outer one is not chayiv as a beishar to the inner one. What does that mean? So the chayiv, what that means is azay. It's similar to an Avnei Nezer we discussed earlier when we were talking about Rebbe Manoach and the Pesach HaMevili day. And remember that Avnei Nezer has this idea, although Beis HaOtzer is Chayiv, and we pass the Beis HaOtzer against the Rambam, we pass the Beis HaOtzer is Chayiv Mezuzah. That the fact that I store stuff and I go in to get my stuff, that's considered to be sufficient Dira to be Chayiv. But it's on the edge. It's a Dira Klishta. This barely makes it. After all, that's why it's a Machlokas Tanah Machlokas Rishonim. It's on the border of Dira. So we hold it's the line is low enough that this is just past the threshold, just enough to be high, but barely. So that's what Avneza said, we discussed. He says, maspik that the Beis HaOtzer itself is high, we're not going to say that the whole way to get to the Beis HaOtzer is high. The Beis HaOtzer itself is high, but to say this is a Beis Shar to the Otzer itself is barely has enough gear to be high, it definitely can't expand out to the non-adjacent door. That seems like what the Rishonim are saying here, a similar type of idea, that if I have like a real building, a real house, that's mamish, chayiv, and mezuzah, a real solid dira kavua, so then even the beishar to get there is also chayiv. But here, this sukkah shal yotzer, this is not much more than an ohel. Maybe it's a little more than an ohel, but it's on the edge of kavias. Just barely kavua. No, it's chayiv. Can't say so. The primus is chayiv. You can't say the primus is mamish haroi. The verse says it's not kavua, but kavua enough to be chayiv, but barely kavua enough to be chayiv. So you barely kavua, barely chayiv. Havud lo sefala. That room itself is chayiv, but the hallway to get there is gonna be pater. And then the Rambam, who says that means that the chitzona is the outer tent is not chayiv because the outer tent is not kavua, so that's still saying a different limitation of Beis Manoach with the Pesach HaMevili day. There's not the hefty Mevili day of rock solid room, but that even though you're Pesach HaMevili day, but it has to be if the room, I presume the door itself is not so kavua, so then that's not going to be. That's not going to be chayiv as a Pesach HaMevili day. There is a Pesach Tshuva here. Let me just mention and point to Pesach Tshuva, the end of Sif Katan Yud. It really has nothing to do with per se with the topic. It just he mentions it here because it happened to come up in stores. So once he's talking about stores, he mentions that the Noda Yehuda, Naharimi Lisa, Noda Yehuda, Yaakov of Lisa, wrote a we think of. Of his no, I'm sorry. Marie Melissa is I'm sorry, is Nesivus. Thank you, right, Nesivus. So we think Nesivus as being the author of Nesivus HaMishpat, Nechash HaMishpat, and the Chavis Das and Yerodea, and maybe last time we mentioned the Tikkun Erevin. He also wrote, and it seems that this is like a style, a genre of Sefer Halacha that went in and out of style. He wrote a siddur, meaning he published a siddur with his halachic notes on it, which the Baal HaTanya did as well. I've been curious about it. It seems like, just like the Kehilchos genre, something that has been very popular the last couple of decades, almost like that was like a different genre of writing a siddur for halach, not to organize it as Kehilchos, but to organize it as a siddur. Like the Baal HaTanya siddur, he has his whole tour de force about Zmanim and to define Shki and Seis, is in his, I think it's in the intro to Hadlakas Neres. So then, the big, big Baal HaTanya who wrote Shulchan Aruch like Svarim, as he wrote the Shulchan Arav, and the Sivas wrote on Shulchan Aruch, but they also wrote a Siddur. That's how they presented Aruch Haim, and all filled in chunks of Yerodea. So he has some Hilchus Mezuzah, the Derech HaChaim Siddur.
Like Rehagon,
or the Seder, interesting.
Right, the Seder also halachic works.
Right, Seder at Tfilah. So he talks about this. Really can come up later. we'll appreciate more later on. But just you should know it's here. It talks about this comes up in some of the apartments on this side of the heights. When you have if the doorposts aren't straight, but they sort of if the doorway is narrower at the bottom, and then like sort of like there's like a shelf part of the way up that goes out and then continues upwards. So he discusses, do you put the mezuzah on the bottom, do you put the mezuzah on the top? Maybe it has to do with how tall the bottom is. The bottom is 10 tefachim, then you put it on the bottom. If the bottom is not 10 tefachim, put it on top. It's really relevant later once we get into, which we're going to be getting into, definitions that sort of the structural issues. But it comes up here because once you're talking about stores, so this happened, this is a way, apparently it was a common way to build store doorways.
It's like a T structure, like an L structure. So it goes up and then out, like it's
yeah. It looks like
there's like an invisible T.
Right. Imagine if this was cut out.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
if this was cut out like this.
On the other side too, I guess.
If you had a cut out like this.
Yeah.
If there's more space for you to swing your arms around than to swing your legs
around.
It
would be like
a T. Okay. And that is a comment of the Nesivus that we will enrich and be getting back. Okay. Richard, going forward, we're going to be jumping next week into, we have probably like another 3 weeks, I have to look at the calendar, like another 3 weeks or so left. I would love to say, I cannot promise, but I would love to complete Resh Pei Vav before winter break. If not, let's at least get pretty close. We do have a sofer coming, Ritz Hashem. We haven't set an exact date yet, but the end of the month, the 24th, 25th, the 31st. One of those days, somewhere during or before Reading Week, he's going to be coming and giving a presentation on the Safras aspect of Mezuzah. And then we'll come back in Ritz Hashem after winter break. Well, if need be, we'll finish up Resh Pei Vav. And then we're looking at Resh Pei Zayin and Resh Tayaf, both of which are very short. Resh Pei Zayin is two Seifim about doorways. And Resh Tayaf is three Seifim of sort of ongoing maintenance issues, miscellaneous issues. It talks about Bedikas HaMezuzah, it talks about rentals, and Kitan, and Nashim Kitanim, and about what do you do when you leave. Do you take mezuzahs with you, or do you leave them behind? So Mirta Shem, early second semester, I think we'll be wrapping up Hilchot Mezuzah, Chazrin, Vechina, then moving on to one or more of a selection from Sefer Torah, a selection from Tzedakah, or Yesodos in the Mikvos. So maybe before winter break, we should have Mikvos. Maybe before the first two are in the volume of Torah Shulchan Aruch that you have. So that's, I think, a definite plus. Yes. So think about that.